Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up. Hey, besties.
Hi, besties. Welcome back.
We missed you. How's everyone doing? Hope you're having a good start to your 2025. And we hope you enjoyed our two solo episodes that we put out. But we are back now with another incredible guest, Joelle Stiles Brown. Hi, Joelle.
Hi.
Thanks for coming on the show with us.
Thanks for having me.
So we want to talk to you about your journey starting from the very beginning. We want to take it all the way back. So give us a little bit of background on you and growing up in the area.
Yeah. So from a very young age, I always loved performing. So I always did like dance classes, and I got into theater when I was like 13, and I was always the theater kid at school. I did all the plays, all the musicals. So growing up in the area, that's just kind of how I got to know the area through the community theaters, through the dancers, through the theater clubs at school. And yeah, that's always been how I discovered mommy, how I got to know mommy. And it's hasn't changed much from that.
I love that.
Yeah, we do have a really great theater scene here.
Yeah, there's so many community theaters.
Definitely.
Like, and we've talked to a lot of people who, like, maybe their day job is a little bit different from the theater scene, but, you know, they always are involved in different community theater aspects, be it pit, tech, on stage.
And all ages, too.
Yeah.
Like, I was a baby, like, I don't know, 12, 13, and I was in shows with these, like, 20-somethings who were, like, incredible, these 30, these 40-somethings that were incredible that, like, helped me become me in a way, you know?
That's cool. So special. So moving out of, so you went to mommy high school?
Yes, okay. I did.
And then graduated from there. Did you go to college?
I did. I went to Bowling Green State University.
Awesome. Me too. Nice. Go Falcons.
Love all these BG alums go in my Falcons. Area. So why did you choose BG?
Frankly, because it was close. I could commute, and that was a huge selling point. But I wanted to do, well, I originally wanted to do musical theater. And my mom and my choir director at the time said, let's do something that gives you a broader thing to work with. So I went for music education, and they have an incredible music ed program. I was like, okay, those are two really great selling points. So.
Yeah. What kind of classes were you taking with that?
A whole lot. We had to take classes for every single instrument. So I had to learn three instruments per class. There was like a woodwind class, a brass class. I had to take piano classes, which is where I met my husband.
I was gonna say BG was pretty special for you, and not only for the curriculum, but also because you met your husband there.
Absolutely. Yep. He was the kid who was good at piano, and I was the kid that struggled with piano, and he helped me. It was really cute.
That's awesome.
That's such a cute.
But, you know, and also the core, I had to take like science and math classes, a lot of psychology classes. So it was, music ed is an interesting degree because it's a lot of music classes and a lot of education classes. So I got a lot of both.
And what did you intend when you went in with that major to do after school?
I just really wanted to be a professional theater person. Yeah. I didn't know what. Yet, I didn't know in what aspect, but I just knew I loved music, I loved theater, and I think
had to stay with that.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, everybody around me, I mean, the degree is for educators, right? Like, to be a choir teacher is what I was going to school for. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll be a choir teacher. But right. I didn't have like a set plan or goal, honestly. I just knew I loved music and I loved teaching, and I just wanted to do something with that. So
then walk us through kind of, you get your degree, you're going post college. What did that look like for you to then like re-enter the quote unquote real world after school?
Yeah, well, so the biggest thing, like I said, I really wanted to do musical theater like as an actor. And my senior year, it was kind of realizing that I didn't want that anymore. I am not a person that thrives under stress and pressure like I think a lot of people do, and I think you need to have sort of that aspect for theater. So it was kind of, you know, I graduated and I was like, okay, I don't want to be a choir teacher because, you know, through student teaching, I was like, I don't feel fed by this. I don't want to do musical theater anymore because it's so competitive and it didn't feel like a good spot for me, like mentally, or like it just didn't, I wasn't as passionate about it as I was when I was a kid, I guess. So it was, I have a degree. Don't know what to do with it. I guess I'll find a big girl job.
Right. Yeah, that's very fair.
Yeah. So that's what I did.
So then tell us what your big girl job was. Tell us about what you were doing after school.
Yeah. So I worked at the Willow Center, which is a therapy practice in Toledo.
Okay.
And Bowling Green and Oregon. But it was mostly at the Toledo location. And I went there by Erin Wiley, the owner, had just a Facebook post about how she was looking for a personal assistant. And I happened to be Facebook friends with her because I went to school with her boys. Mm-hmm. They graduated from Mommy as well. I reached out to her and I was like, hey, I'm interested. We had a meeting. We clicked really well. And she's like, cool, you're hired.
That's awesome.
I love that.
It was, yeah. But it was a lot of like getting lunches, planning events. I cleaned and organized a lot, which I love doing. So it didn't feel a lot like work. I was on phones, like there, I was kind of like a catch-all what Willow needed at the time, just kind of trying to find what exactly she wanted me to do.
A little bit of everything,
Jill of all trades, if you will. Yeah, and it was a really good time. It's a really healthy environment. I mean, a bunch of therapists, you'd hoped it would be, but
yeah.
Willow has an incredible work atmosphere. So that was really great to be involved with something that felt so positive and I felt so supported. And I learned a lot.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Doing a little bit of everything like that.
I mean, what a cool experience right out of college to enter into such a healthy environment. That's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So during this time, I'm assuming you're still involved with the theater program. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah.
And what you've been up to more recently.
Yeah. I music directed a couple of shows. I'm trying to think of what I started with. I know I did Chicago during that time at Mommy High School. I music directed that. And actually, one of the catalysts for leaving Willow was doing Spelling Bee with the Village Players. I music directed there. And that was such an incredible experience. I think that was the first time I was actually just talking to my husband about this the other day. Like, I think the Spelling Bee was the first time that I felt like, oh, I know what I'm talking about. I'm capable of this. Like, I feel comfortable in my ability because I think it's only like my third or fourth time. But, you know, the first and second time you're kind of like working through all the kinks and whatever. But that was, I think the last one I did while I was still at Willow was Spelling Bee with the Village Players.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also were on stage too.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah, let's be real. You are talented. You are a very talented teacher, but you also are a very talented performer too.
Thank you. Yeah, I still love performing and I still try to as much as I can.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you're kind of taking that love of theater and of music performance and all of that and carrying that with you through your 9-to-5. So I kind of want to talk about, you know, now you are thinking about doing your own thing and working actively on doing your own thing. So talk about kind of what gave you that idea to start your own business.
Yeah. So at Willow, we had these meetings called Good to Great meetings. And it was just the future of Willow and how we can lift each other up and how we can be better. And Erin brought up the concept of ikigai. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that exactly right, but it's a Japanese term. And it is the intersection between what you love, what the world needs, what you can be paid for, and what you're good at.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And so as this, you know, 20-something, like, I love Willow, but I want something more. I don't really know what I want the rest of my life to be. To, like, hear that, I was like, whoa. Like, that's really cool to think about. Mm-hmm. And I did. I thought a lot about it. So that definitely was the catalyst of, okay, what do I want to do? And just finishing Spelling Bee, I think I might have been working at it at the time. I was like, well, I really, really love teaching individual voice and teaching group voice and like this small, like with people who love music and love theater as much as I do, and kind of translating that. Like I've taught lessons since senior year of high school even. I have always loved that. I've always felt my best self. I always felt very inspired. It like, you know, when you do something and after you just feel so energized and you're like, okay, I should do more of that. Like that's definitely. So I feel like, okay, maybe teaching voice is my ikigai. Maybe this is where I'm meant to be. So that kind of went down this rabbit hole of like, okay, how can I make this happen? Is this a possibility? Can I make this happen? Let's see what happens.
Yeah, that's such an interesting perspective to frame that kind of like big life choice around and like really pinpoint exactly
what it would be. The only thing for sure. I definitely, you know, I'm a very religious person, and it was very much like, what's God's purpose for me? Like, where am I going with that? Like, is there something that I'm not hearing? Mixed with the ikigai, mixed with my husband and my family being like, no, you could do that. You could do that. You should.
Yeah, having like, that emotional support system around you, definitely. I mean, obviously you're very strong in your faith, but having the actual people around you encouraging you to do that, I think is a huge push to do something that you're passionate about.
Absolutely.
And on that, you know, we were kind of in prepping for this episode, we're talking about the strength and the bravery that it takes for you to leave a job that is steady and stable for you to start your own thing. So can you kind of speak emotionally to making the decision to leave Willow Center and really embark, make that leap for your business?
Absolutely. It was hard just because, you know, the Willow Center was such a nice job and I felt so supported, like I said, and it was scary. And I remember going in to talk to Erin, and I was like, hey, I want to do this. And she met me with, that sucks that I'm losing you. I love you and I'll miss you, but you could do this. And I think hearing that affirmation from, you know, my boss at the time, like, oh, okay, cool. So that definitely helped. And like I said, having the support of like my mom and my husband. And then as I was talking more about it to other people, and as I was kind of like planning out maybe what I'll do, I'm receiving like all these people like, hey, is your studio open? When's your studio gonna be open? Like, I have a daughter who wants to teach voice, or I have a student, or I want to do it, or whatever. And so I started getting these like affirmations from other people like, hey, can I want to be. So the fact that I hadn't even left Willow yet, I was just saying like, okay, like I'm leaving in a month, here's what I'm gonna do. And I already started to have a wait list. Like, I was like, okay, maybe I can do this. So honestly, I'm trying to think of the exact moment that like I decided. I think being young enough to be like, okay, this is the time in my life that I can do this. I can do something risky. I can do something that feeds me creatively, because I don't have kids. I don't have any like things tying me down to certain places. And my husband has a steady job. That definitely helps, right?
Bless.
Married life is great. Having a partner who can support you and be like, okay, yeah, go for it. Take a risk, because I'm here to like be your safety net a little bit, and like we can do this together. So all those things together, it just felt like the right time, the right moment. I'm very blessed to be able to have all of those things line up so perfectly. And I was just like, okay, if I don't take this risk now, then I'm stupid. Like, it's set up so well, I have to.
Yeah,
so,
I love that.
Definitely.
Still terrifying though.
So tell us about, you know, you gave yourself a month. Tell us about like, what are you thinking? Like, what are the next steps? Like, after you decided, okay, I'm doing this, what are the actual things that you're putting in place and doing during that time?
Yeah, definitely. Paperwork.
So much paperwork.
Well, the paperwork of starting an LLC, because I decided that that's how I want to approach it, to so that I'm not personally liable, you know, all that fun business stuff, as well as clearly stating out my plans and my structure of the way that I teach and how I teach it so that parents aren't like, okay, I'm sending my kid to you. Like, what's going on?
Right.
So there's a lot of like setting up my studio, setting up like when do I want to work? Like, I'm my own boss. I'm not like under a school of music. Like, I'm going to be making these choices. So what does that look like? That was a big decision. Like, because some voice teachers will do lessons weekly or biweekly, and definitely some have like semesters. So deciding that, like, what fits best for me. And the biggest thing is having a room for it. So we're in the process. My husband and I bought a trailer last year, and we're in the process of renovating multiple rooms of our house, and the music room is one of them. But it's the storage room for like our two bathrooms and stuff like that right now. So the reality of having to wait for that to be finished and done so that I can start having kids in my
house. Right. Yeah.
Kids and adults and students in my house. So all of that. There's a lot that goes into it.
Definitely.
And I think we talk a lot about like personal branding or the branding of any business, but I want to ask you, when you're thinking about these next steps, and obviously you're very early in the process, but thinking about these next steps, what does the branding of your business kind of look like to you? Like, what do you want people to take away from it? What do you want it to look like? How does it resonate with you?
Yeah. Something that I've always been very passionate about is anybody can sing. Anybody can sing. Everybody has a voice. Because that is a very common misconception. Like, oh, I don't know how to sing, or I don't have pitch. Like, you can sing. I've taught students. I've seen students who struggled really poor, like a lot with music, rhythm, pitch, whatever, and they can be transformed. Like, anybody can sing. So that is definitely big in my branding. Like, I want my studio to be somewhere where everybody feels comfortable and everybody feels like they have a voice. So it's not necessarily like you have to be these ages, you have to be this skill level, or you have to be this or that or the other thing. Like,
very inclusive, so that's very big for everyone.
Yeah.
I love that.
Like, right now I have a student who's 12 and I have a student who's in his 30s. So it doesn't, like, age doesn't matter. Mm. Talent, not talent, none of that matters.
That's awesome.
That's really awesome. And I feel like that's something you carry with you in every aspect of your life, that inclusion. So I think that that's really cool that you're making that such a forefront of your business.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I think we want to get a little bit real, a little bit deep here.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, taking that big of a leap, or, you know, doing anything where you're kind of in the process and not at the totally finished product, it might be easy to feel discouraged, or, you know, a lot of people having that, like, am I doing the right thing? Am I on the right path? Mm-hmm. Especially as young professionals, like, we always are all kind of in our heads feeling that. Mm-hmm. And so kind of talk to us about that and, you know, how you're combating that within yourself.
Yeah, there's definitely been a couple of moments where I'm like, what am I doing? Can I do this? What if I make no money? What if I struggle? What if I have no students? The way I'm combating that definitely is my husband. He's been such a rock in this process. He's there to remind me, like, no, you are talented, and no, you do know what you're talking about, so you can do that. And really, I mean, back to my faith, I feel like I have a really firm foundation to stand on. So I know that even if this doesn't go as planned, even if I can't make it, I know that I still have a future, and I still, like, there's something that I can do. I don't think that what I'm doing now is a mistake, and I'm trying to remind myself that.
Fighting through the imposter syndrome is so real.
It's so hard.
It's so real.
All the time, you know, anxiety mixed with imposter syndrome. Yeah, no, it's.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's good, though. I mean, to have that support system is super important. Mm-hmm.
It's one of the biggest steps in combating that. So you're already rocking. You're already rocking, man. No, but I want to ask you too, you know, on a more hopeful note. So tell me about what you hope in the long run for your business. You know, we've talked about that inclusion aspect, that anybody can sing, but just in general, if you're looking at the big picture scope of your business, what are your hopes and what are your dream goals for it?
I think my hopes for it are that I can grow it. As with any business, I suppose, but, you know, I think the long-term dream is to have like a physical studio and have other people join me in this. And it can be like kind of like a music school, but maybe a little bit more me. I don't know necessarily what that means. So yeah, just extending out to other people who have the same viewpoints as I do and the same motivation and passion that I do, coming together to teach people who want to be taught. I think that that's, you know, the biggest part of this dream in general is just keeping music alive, which I think is so important, especially as, you know, schools cut drama music programs left and right because times are tough. I think music is important. I think making art is important. And I think that if we can get a bunch of people together who are passionate about it and spread that passion and spread that skill, I think that that's just my perfect version of the world, you know?
Yeah, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. And I would love to end on that because that is such a hopeful and beautiful note. But I do want to ask what advice you have for any other young professionals or people in general thinking about starting their own business or taking that leap for their next adventure.
I think my advice is find your ikigai. Honestly, if you're passionate about it and you feel that you can help others, I think that that's great. My advice is to have a support system before anything, because without my emotional support system, I would not be doing this. I'm very blessed to have them. And So I definitely think that having people in your corner is a very important first step. And building something on what you're passionate about, what could go wrong, you know?
Yeah.
I love that. Yay.
You didn't think we were going to leave without a Roman Empire.
Time for the Roman Empire.
We are back with Roman Empires in 2025. And for those of you who have been living under a rock, a Roman Empire is something that you cannot stop thinking about. So we are going to kick it off with our special guest today. Joelle, tell us your Roman Empire.
Okay. So I am a barista. I have been a barista for like 3 years, right? I love coffee, obsessed. And my Roman Empire is that the Green Mermaid just put out a cordato. Now, a cordato traditionally is half espresso, half steamed milk. Okay. It's about an 8 ounce drink, 4 ounce. It's half and half. Okay. Their cordato is 3 ristretto shots, which is a concentrated espresso with, I think, 8 ounces of milk. So it's like a 10 ounce drink. It's not a cordato. Okay. I'm already struggling with customers ordering a macchiato. A macchiato, as you know, because we just talked about how we're both baristas, is espresso with a dollop of milk foam. The Green Mermaid's version is an abomination to society. And so when people come up and order caramel macchiato, I literally have to be like, okay, do you want an espresso macchiato?
Yeah, I think you just want a latte. You want milk and sugar. And I can make that for you.
Which is great and dandy, but stop.
Yeah. So I know, and then you feel like the dumb one. But you're like, no.
Oh, I feel rude is what I feel like. Because I'm like, so do you mean this? Like, I feel like a know-it-all. Like, actually.
Yes.
That is an espresso macchiato. Or you, that's a caramel, a vanilla latte with caramel on top. I don't understand it. I don't drink Starbucks, guys. No. I don't know.
But it's. Yeah. And you kind of always already know. Like, when they start saying it, you're like, I know what you want, but I still have to confirm.
One time I had somebody order a traditional macchiato. I was like, do you want an espresso macchiato? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, I can do that.
The smile spreading across your face. I can't. Okay, well, that is a pretty good Roman Empire. I'm going to be thinking about that too, even though I was not a part of barista life. However, I love that. So my Roman Empire today is I set a goal for myself for 2025 to read 100 books.
Dang.
Yeah. So I read 50 last year. My goal was to double it this year. And really, it's like to encourage myself to scroll less, to keep getting through my TBR, because my read list, it's bad. Like, it's so bad. You can, like, half of my bookshelf at home is literally just books that I've bought that I haven't read yet. And I'm insufferable because I go to the bookstore every other day and just keep buying books and I can't be stopped. But here's my Roman Empire, all right? I think people who think that audiobooks are not real reading are mean.
I agree.
I think they're mean. 100%. Okay, you're not actually mean. I don't actually dislike you. However, it gets me really mad because if you are a busy person, you can't be reading when you're driving places. You can't be reading if you're like cleaning your house. There are a lot of things that you need to get done if you have a busy schedule. And I think that there's a lot of value in sitting down and reading a book, but I also think that there's a lot of value in listening to a book and getting the same information and the same effect. And it kind of is a, dare I say, an attack on podcasting when people think that audiobooks are not a real form of reading, because you're still listening and getting the same type of effect from that book emotionally and with all the characters.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just am very peeved because I read 3 audiobooks last month and I read 7 physical books. And so I think that those 3 audiobooks should count toward my goal of 100.
Well, there are people with disabilities that can't read. They speak depend, on it. They depend on audiobooks to read books. Speak, are you saying that, you know, it. People who are blind, are you saying that they don't read books?
Precisely. See, I knew you'd get it.
I don't
That's
get
great.
It. I share that.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I stan audiobooks. Thank you. Shout out to audiobooks forever.
I agree 100%. I love a good audiobook. I listen to them at my desk when I'm working on like kind of mindless tasks. And I think it's still reading.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mine, I want to talk about a TikTok that I saw, of course. It's always TikTok. Of a creator talking about a quote from the AIDS epidemic, which I was not able to locate the source material, unfortunately. But the quote was really nice and it stuck with me. So I think there's a lot of media in the world and we're kind of under pressure to just be taking in information at all times. So I think this quote really resonated with me because of that. So it was during the AIDS epidemic. They said, we would bury our friends in the morning, protest during the day, and then dance all night long. And the dancing all night long was actually what was able to keep them going and keep fighting for what they thought was right. And I think that's important. We don't need to deprive ourselves of joy and just only be able to take in the serious stuff. And we have to keep, you know, keep fighting and keep enjoying ourselves to get through what we think is right.
Right. If we're not enjoying the pockets of life that we can, then what are we fighting for?
Mm-hmm. Everyone keep going. Keep fighting for what you think is right.
Yeah, that's so sweet. Well, thanks for ending on a great note. And Joelle, thank you so much for joining us. We were so happy to have you on the show.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
We want to thank Joelle Stiles Brown, our guest on today's show. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer is the incomparable Chris Piper.
If you have any questions, comments, or just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcast.
Bye, besties!
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.